Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's
awesome.
Really awesome.
Awesome.
That's, so
that's awesome. Oh, awesome. That's
awesome.
With Stephen Bradford. Stephen B.
What up, brother?
Whoa.
Everybody. Hey.
Hey, thanks for joining us for another episode of That's Awesome.
That's awesome is here with us and you, quarantined, still stuck inside.
Still stuck with us. It's funny. We're doing so many things now. We have to remind ourselves what we're talking about.
Yes, we do.
But we're so lucky today to have a not just someone that's been in our world, someone that's been on Daytime, but now has kind of a really exciting new adventure on Netflix and in the real estate world. So we're very excited to have her.
Yeah, I got to work with her a little bit on Young and the Restless, and it's so cool to see her kind of start this next chapter of life in a way for her. Yeah. So we're excited to talk to her.
We used to hang out all the time when our shows used to hang out together, when there used to be other shows. So you know her from All My Children, from Days of Our Lives, and now on Netflix, Selling Sunset, we have Chrishell Stiles with us.
Hello. Hello. I'm so excited to be here with you guys.
Oh, you're awesome, Chrishell. How are you? How's life?
I am good. You know, obviously, they're crazy times. You know, I feel like if you can try and stay sane and just try and, you know, connect with people, then that's... Yeah. You know, that's what the most you can hope for, I think.
Also, we've been doing this show for a couple of years now, and we've always enjoyed it. But now, especially, it feels like such a privilege to be able to do, because we get to not only see each other. And I mean, you know, I'm speaking for probably a lot of people, but the fact that I get to hang out with Steve Burton and see his face through my computer just about every day, I know how lucky I am.
Yeah, whatever.
I know how lucky I am.
Whatever.
But the fact that we get to visit with people like yourself that we haven't necessarily been around in a long time to catch up or meet new people, it's really cool.
Yeah. Yes. And usually we start from the beginning, but we're going to start at the end here because I want to know about Selling Sunset, because I love real estate. So,
you do.
Oh, I love real estate. So I want to know for you, you could tell me about the show, but I want to know, did you have a love for real estate? Because I've actually dabbled with being a realtor in different states because I love it so much. How did that even come about, this whole realtor real estate thing?
Well, it's actually soap related. I was working on Days of Our Lives at the time. And as you guys know, working in soaps, you see this happen all the time. All of a sudden I get the script where my character's moving to New York.
Ah, boo.
And I was like, what? I mean, my contract wasn't even up. So it was a little bit of a scramble, you know, as an actor. I wasn't expecting that. I had only been on a soap before where I was on it for 7 years. And it was just like, if you wanted to be there, you re-signed and you stayed there. And this was in the middle of a contract. We had new writers come in, and the new writers didn't really want to write for the character. You know how that goes.
Of course,
Not even personal, but you have to scramble a little bit. And so I thought, what's something else that I have a natural interest in? And I have time to go get my license in real estate now. So that's exactly when I lost my job on Days. Is the first time is when I started classes and got my license. And then, interestingly enough, by the time I got written back into Days, then I had a show about real estate called Selling Sunset. But so I love real estate. I've always kind of like been an investor in it in the early days. Not well, but but I learned hard lessons.
Yeah, well, the thing is, in the times that you've worked and maybe you've had the ability to do that sort of thing, it's been some tumultuous years, right? Like, you know, when you joined All My Children, that was in the mid 2000s, which was a tough time to be in real estate. And then obviously, so it's okay is all I'm saying. Like, yeah. But are you learning a bunch now? Like this, and how much real estate were you doing before you started doing the show? Like,
So I had probably sold, I would say like, I think three homes before the show approached me.
Sure.
And so it was kind of one of those things where I had it, I certainly was still kind of new in the space, but mm-hmm. I had done it enough to kind of, you know, I knew how it worked and I learned a few lessons already. But when the show came to me, I needed to move from my, the place I was at, the brokerage, I would have to move brokerages. And so the office really did all work together, but for the show to work, they wanted to bring me in so that's mm-hmm. the story. And so that all is really real. I really was meeting all of them for the first time. It really was a new brokerage. I was still relatively new in the space. Again, I think I'd sold three houses at the time. So it was a learning curve.
Yeah. Chriselle, was that the same area that you were selling in, or did you have to go to a whole new area?
I sold in the Valley. And then when I moved, the office is set in like Hollywood Hills area, right on Sunset Boulevard. So, sure. They do a lot more office and a lot more business in the Hollywood Hills.
Yeah.
But they didn't mind that I still was doing business in the Valley. In fact, they liked that. So I was able to keep both.
Cool.
Wow.
So have you got, sorry, Bradford, you're not talking during this real estate.
No, I know you're so jazzed about real estate. I'm going to let you go, dude.
And don't use the word jazzed again.
I know, I'm an old man.
And don't ever say jazz. Don't ever say that again. Okay. We'll get to your Broadway career later. That never happened. Anyway, Chriselle.
He's talking to me. Yeah.
So, Chriselle, you guys did how many episodes on this first? I'm so intrigued by this show. How many episodes have you done on the first season?
Season one was eight episodes.
Eight episodes, okay.
Drops, this coming, well, next Friday, the 22nd, is another eight episode installment.
Another eight. Okay. So now have you personally, because of the show, gotten more listings?
Yes, I have.
So it's been good that way for you guys. I mean, you know, despite it being a reality show, it's been good business-wise for you.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, people would pay a lot of money in this space for this kind of advertising.
Oh, sure. Of course.
So even though the show follows you and it shows you sometimes where you mess up, so it sucks. But I think overall, if people watch the show, they get to see, you know, to be honest with you, every realtor probably is going to mess up at one time or the other.
Of course.
They don't have a camera on them when it happens.
Sure. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you can kind of see where it's like, okay, but how do I overcome that and how do I fix it? So it has been really good for business. So that's good.
That's awesome.
Great. So has it like, and you know, I don't want to ever, you know, I don't want to get you in trouble, but like, how's it made you feel about real estate going through, do you know what I mean? Do you feel more, I'm going to say it again, jazzed? Do you feel more jazzed to be in real estate now after the experience? Do you know what I mean?
I definitely feel like being involved with the show and just like what I've ended up doing because of the show itself has made me feel more at home in the space, because I always kind of felt like before, you know, this was a second career and I was really coming into it really late. Sure. And so I always would defer to everyone. And that's not really something that you want in a realtor. You want them to have confidence and you want them to, you know, really. And now I feel like I've gained that from the show in being involved in this, is that now I feel like I'm so much better for my clients. Cause I feel like even if I knew the exact same thing before, I didn't have the confidence to trust myself or to,
sure.
And that's not what the client wants. They're looking to you so that they can relax, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
Are any of the other realtors, like you obviously have a direct line to entertainment cause that's where you came from. Do any of them have as direct of a tie?
Actually, no, the all the people other than me on the show were legitimately realtors before this and hadn't, I take that back. One girl had done like, non-speaking stuff, before, sure. But I think, they were working as realtors before this.
Cool. So from what you said, like you're in this new kind of like arena thinking about, oh, how do I get better at this? Are they on the flip side going like, okay, now I'm on TV. How do I get better at being on TV? And maybe that's what I want to do more. So like, I kind of love how you're coming in seeing like, oh, I got that over there. But this is, but it's kind of, maybe, is it the opposite for some of them? Are they getting more interested? Like, maybe I could have a TV career.
Yeah, I think, you know, they'll ask me a lot of questions when we're doing stuff, you know, just like simple things that, you know, being on a soap, like whether it's audio or whether it's camera angles or that kind of stuff. So I thought that was kind of cute when certain cast members would ask me questions, because there's so many things that you learn on a soap set that I don't even think about. It's, you know, ingrained into my brain at this point. I've been doing it since 2005. So,
right.
So they have like, asked me questions, certain things, or I had to teach them a couple of them. Like, when we're not shooting, you're still mic'd, like your audio. Is
So don't talk crap about the producers, because they can hear you.
One of the producers afterwards came up to me and he was like, Chriselle, don't
know. We want to know that stuff.
That's so funny.
That's amazing. Like,
I think the cool part though is, you know, what we take for granted sometimes is being so comfortable around cameras. And when you get people who aren't comfortable, like even if you watch other reality shows, you'll see how uncomfortable they are in season one. And then season three, they're fully comfortable being in front of a camera talking, you know? So, I mean, that's what's awesome, Chriselle, what you're doing is because you're already comfortable on camera. And now all you got to do is sell those $50 million houses. That's it.
I mean, come on.
I will say one element of it that will never make you comfortable is with scripted television. It's very safe. It's a safe environment because it's rehearsed and you're playing a character. And with unscripted, I mean, if people hate who you're playing, they hate you.
Right. There's no saying I'm just an actor, folks.
Right. Well, because then you're also using your name. It's not like it's not like, no, I just play, you know, so-and-so. No, you're actually using your name. That's tough.
Yeah. So there's always an uncomfortability when you're putting your ideas and your opinions out there and you're attached to them, as opposed to, oh my God, my character is in the loony bin and she's crazy, you know?
Well, right. And also, like, if you mess up on a soap, it's like, oh, they don't want you to mess up. But in unscripted, they probably do want you to mess up.
100%.
Right. So you have to be, you have to be super cautious, right? Because they'll put your worst up there.
You got to be on your game for sure.
That's going to be what's on the trailer to get people.
We're going to lead with that. Your worst moment, we're going to lead with that. Thanks so much for that. Amazing.
That's awesome.
Wow. So you're, okay. So now let's go back a little bit. Where are you from, Chriselle?
I'm from Kentucky.
Kentucky. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So what was growing up in Kentucky like for you?
You know, it's a really super small town. They have like one stoplight. Just really, really tiny little town. I was actually born in Missouri and then we moved to Kentucky, but both of them are really small towns. So it was, you know, I'm from a very, very poor upbringing, and I remember watching TV and watching soaps and thinking that those were the most glamorous women I had ever seen, and I just wanted to be like one of those women. And I had the bug, you know, to like, I always wanted to be, you know, acting and just performing at everything that I could. So I just remember it from a very small age, watching soap operas and it being the opposite of what I was living in, this very poor rural town, and looking at these glamorous, you know, women on TV. So
soaps and like soaps specifically were what you set your eyes on in a way?
Oh, 100%. Even when I went to college, I told them from day one when I started the theater company in the group, tells a story that I told them from day one, I want to be on a soap opera.
That's awesome. Amazing. Were there outlets for you in your small town to kind of experience like performing or like?
Not really. I did like high school plays and I did church plays. I the first time I got to really perform, I feel like in front of people that weren't like my aunt or something was in college.
But at the end of high school, you're like, I'm going to go to college for this because this is but that's interesting because like someone that didn't have a lot of outlets or a lot of experience might say, oh, I should just move to LA and like just pack my car and move to LA. But you knew to go, you wanted to study, you wanted to go to a theater program. How did, and you picked a school in Kentucky. Yeah.
I did. Money-wise, I didn't really have a choice because if I stayed in state, it was so much cheaper. And
sure.
So it was one of those things where I knew I had a lot to learn, so I needed to figure it out. And I certainly wouldn't have ever booked all my children if I hadn't gone the way of college. Everyone is different. That was just the path for me.
Sure, yeah.
And so I went there with a goal in mind. And I being from Kentucky, I used to talk like this, so I had to lose my accent.
That's amazing, yeah.
So I realized in college I started mimicking, actually in high school, I started mimicking the newscasters because I knew I had this dream in my head. I wanted to be on TV, and no one on TV sound a lot me. So
that's so funny.
I had to like slowly lose my accent, and I got braces in college, which as a freshman in college is really not like the cool thing to do, but I was set on my dream. So
yeah. And Invisalign awesome. Hadn't come around just yet.
It hadn't. You know, no. But you know what it was? You remember those god awful clear braces and then everything gets stuck in them and they're
sure.
worse than metal braces.
Yeah. Right, but they fit your teeth like the metal braces, but they're just clear, right?
They're clear, and then they like turn yellow almost.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Not good, dude. Not good, not good. Oh, so man. So you knew you liked it in college, but so you went there four years?
Yeah.
Four years?
I went there, actually 4.5. I graduated
okay, great.
In December.
That's okay. Nice. I never went.
Well, you wanted to just soak it all up, make sure you got it all.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I didn't want right. to get too wrapped up and it go by too quickly.
So. Yeah.
And then what was the move after that? Did someone guide you and say, hey, maybe you should go here or do this, or here's an agent or manager or.
So after college, I graduated in December and then I moved to Los Angeles in, I believe, February. So I was auditioning in LA for a year. So for your question, let me remember. I had an agent, but how did I get her? Oh, I remember. I don't really recommend this, but I did this like class called TV Line or something. No, not TV Line. Oh, God. I forget. So I don't recommend it. So it's good I don't remember.
It was one of those programs where you pay and they're talent scouting and yes. blah, blah, blah.
So
yes.
For the most part, you're just paying and these casting directors are coming in and they're just taking your money. But every once in a while... Yeah. And I got to be one of the exceptions, but that's why I don't want to say that because I know for the most part they were taking people's money and just.
Well, I think that's illegal now, right? Like
it is.
Yeah. So I'm sure it happens in some
They're
ways.
They're still out
now.
There though. They're still out
and
there.
And I think because I just got lucky that this manager happened to be there that day and their success rate of someone doing that. That's why I wouldn't recommend anyone get it.
Sure.
But you're right. You can't even do that anymore. But yeah. So I got my manager in a little bit of a shisty way. He was collecting a check at one of those things, but
right.
But it worked out.
But it worked out. Okay, great.
So great. That,
yeah.
But right. yeah, so I ended up getting an agent who sent me an audition for. Now, granted, for the year I was in LA when I moved there, I got a bunch of different auditions for like commercials, and I didn't get any of them. I got down. I got close to a couple things, and I kept missing out. I would get really nervous in the room, and my hands would shake, and my voice would tremble.
Aww.
And so when I got this audition for, am I rambling? Did you want to hear this?
No, I asked you the question. I want to hear the answer, Prichelle.
Okay.
It's so funny how many people come on podcasts and like, am I talking too much? I'm like,
okay.
No, that's what we do. We talk.
You're good. You're good.
So I got the audition for All My Children. Now remember, this is my dream job.
Right. Of course.
For a year now, and I haven't even booked so much as a commercial where I'm like the girl in the back, like going like this. Like right. I haven't booked anything. And right. this is a 4-year contract gig on All My Children. And you would move to New York City of all places.
Right. Crazy.
So in fact, I wasn't nervous because I just knew this wasn't going to be the first thing that I booked. Right. So it's so weird, but I was flown to New York and I was like, this is a free trip to New York. You're happy to be here.
Did you do a pre-read in LA?
I did it. Yeah. So I auditioned and I did a call back in LA.
Okay.
And
I was going
to. All of a sudden I got a call that I'm being flown to New York to screen test, I think alongside 5 or 6 other girls for this part. And so I just, you know, and they didn't tell me the character. And a lot of times in soaps, you don't know who you're auditioning for. Right. So I didn't know who it was for, and there wasn't a lot of information. It was Sydney Fox at the time.
Sydney Fox.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's an incredible daytime character name.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, I wasn't nervous because I just knew that this wouldn't, I didn't want to be sad about something. I wanted to know that it was an accomplishment being there. I was proud of myself that I made it that far, and I knew I wasn't going to get it. So don't even be nervous.
That's a great attitude.
It was the first time in my life that I was able to, you know, really just kind of be in the moment and have fun, because every time before that I got in my head, and I'm not kidding. The papers, my hands would be shaking.
Well, that says a lot though. Cause I, you know, like these things that you're talking about, those moments are what I try to teach my son. That's such a huge mental win, right? To be able to be that way in the biggest moment of your life at the time for a job, that says a lot mentally about you. You know, and it is a big deal. I always try to point those things out with my son. I'm like, hey man, you overcame that and you performed in that, you know, in that specific moment. And that's a big deal. So anyway,
well, and that's so funny.
That's huge. You know,
it sounds like you were kind of creating that mindset out of like to protect yourself from disappointment. But did you know in any way that would be the best energy to come in with? Do you know what I'm saying? Did you know like it would be so practically useful for you as well? Not just like self-preservation?
I didn't, because to think what you're saying, I would have had to have given myself that thought process that I got the job, and it would have just been too crushing in that moment to process that.
Sure.
So I just truly hadn't even thought that far through. I just really wanted to like let myself be proud in that moment that I beat out all those girls. Cause I remember the audition and the callback. I mean, there were so many people there.
And make it that far is an accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, I wouldn't even let it was a self-protection mode that I wanted it so bad, but I just wouldn't let myself like go there as far as like, this is because I did in every other audition. This is your part. This is supposed to be you. This is made for me. Right. Like, of course I can do this. I was like, right. Nope.
Wow. So
just have fun.
And when you moved from college, you chose LA over New York, or was there ever a thought about going to New York rather than LA?
No, because being from Kentucky, I feel like LA is a little more, you know, there's space and you can have a dog and it's a little more relaxed.
I see.
New York was a little scary to me.
Sure.
And if I hadn't moved to New York with a job on TV like that, yeah. I wouldn't have ever been brave enough to make that move. Yeah. But having done it in the way that I did, it was the five of my favorite years I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But to go there without a job and to go there without financial security, I would have never been able to do that.
So what was the call like when you got the call?
Oh my God. I freaked out. I started jumping up and down on the bed, screaming, crying.
So did you find out when you went back to LA or in New York?
I found out when I went back to LA. It was a holiday weekend, so they told me that I'd find out on Tuesday.
Ugh.
And then I got a call on Friday saying that I got the job. And I was like, but I thought they were tricking me because they told me I wouldn't know till Tuesday. And so I was a little initially mad at them because I'm like, that isn't funny, you know? And they were like, they're like, we're not kidding with you. We wouldn't do that. You got the job. And then I flipped out.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That's so fun. And then you had the weekend to really, just really enjoy it. Yeah.
I did. And
so, I mean, did you call everyone in the state of Kentucky? Like
everybody.
Everybody in her town, five people.
Oh, yeah. So it didn't take, the call list wasn't too long, but still.
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's crying. So she wants to say hi.
Hey, oh, what's up, dog? Hey.
Oh my gosh.
Is that Toto?
What kind of hair is that?
She's getting a bath today. Sorry, she's a little scruffy.
So is that a Westie?
She's like a little, I think, terrier mix of some sort.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. When you picked her up, I expected her hair to move. in some way, and it didn't.
Like, is there hair? There's hairspray in there. There's residual hairspray from Chriselle that goes right down to the dog.
The dog's a daytime fan too.
Totally. Yes, I just need a fan for us in our hair.
No kidding. Me too.
So, and how long after, like, was it like you start next week or we're starting in a couple months or how long did it take you to get involved?
I had like 2 weeks to sell my car and pack my bag, and you know, I didn't have much, so it was like through some jeans and a magazine and a suitcase. I was like, I'm ready.
That's awesome.
In New York, that's a big transition for someone that, you know, started small town like you did, and then LA's not a city, so it's a real transition.
It was for sure. And also, I was in the just little things, like walking down the street, and I would just used to smiling and waving at people. And in New York City, are you kidding? Like, people just do not do that. And I didn't learn that in LA because everyone was in a car.
Right. So you don't see people in your own,
when you pass someone on the street, you always wave and smile and say hi. And so that was just one of the first funny things I learned. I learned what I was attracting by doing that, and I quickly learned to quit doing that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Don't be too friendly.
A lot of lot of construction sites where you were like, oh, I should do this. Yeah.
Head down.
How are you feeling your days on these long
days? We are working, buddy, but you need a break sometimes. Give
you
me a break.
Sure do. And it's, right? You know, it might, some people might like to zone out, but I tell you, with all this time at home, like, you don't want your brain to get too laid back sometimes. Sure. So that's why I love our game. I call it ours. It's like a child. Yes. Best Fiends. It's it's a mobile puzzle game, and it keeps your brain active. And it's also relaxing.
It is. It is relaxing. And now I can check on you. I can watch your progress, which is so cool.
I know.
And if you're feeling a little tired and need a little energy, I can gift you some.
Well, also, you text me and say, hey, I passed you. So
that's true,
get
too.
Get to playing. Get to playing, buddy.
Get to playing, pal.
You know, we've been playing this game for, I'd say, 8 to 10 months now. Yep. And it, you know, they update the game monthly with new levels and events, so it truly never gets old. And the people at Best Fiends, they're so sweet. They really treat the game like a service for their players, and it really comes across. You feel that. And, you know, it doesn't require, you know, a lot of these games require Wi-Fi. This doesn't. You can
I know.
Play,
it's so great, dude. That's a game changer, honestly, because a lot of games I used to play had Wi-Fi. You needed Wi-Fi to update it or even to download it. And with Best Fiends, you don't. I mean,
they have all these cute characters. So I don't know. When you're playing a game, you know, it's like watching a soap opera. You want a little break from reality. And the reality that you go into when you play Best Fiends, the jingles, I love the music. The characters are so cute and funny. Like, I will chuckle at the characters because they're so funny. And then you get to give these characters extra powers to help fight the slugs. And the puzzle game itself, it's challenging, but it doesn't tax you so much that you get tired. It's right. When you're successful, you feel so good. It's like little, well, because every time you connect all the things and they disappear, it feels like a success. And gosh, in a time where there's so many things that feel like they're going wrong, boy, to have little wins here and there is so nice.
It is. And with 100 million, it's over 100 million downloads now and 5-star reviews. I always go to that because you can't be wrong. If something has 100 million downloads, I'm going to look at it.
Absolutely.
I'm looking at it. So
Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline.
Download Best Fiends free on the Apple Store or Google Play.
That's Friends without the R.
Best Fiends.
Best Fiends!
So how long was your run on All My Children?
I was on the show almost 7 years.
Wow, that's a good run.
And that was a great time. Like, I know I said that I maybe met you in music, but I know, but we used to hang out. Like, our shows used to hang out, and it used to be fun.
It used to be so fun.
I was thinking of, do you remember that summer where we went, like, we were in Wisconsin? Do you remember that music festival in Wisconsin?
Yes. What was it? Stagecoach or something?
What were you guys doing? Fun of the Sun or something?
I don't know what they called it, but it was SoapNet Like,
it was something like Stagecoach if it wasn't Stagecoach.
Yeah. So in Stagecoach, we did an Indio, and I, because I'm not sure if you're in Wisconsin, but I know I saw you at Stagecoach out in Indio, and like we just used to do all these fun things.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, the Broadway Cares event that we used to do. And then it's funny, I was looking for your email and I found it in a chain from the that show we did, that show at the Gay and Lesbian Center in LA. And I feel like you were supposed to be in it and then dropped out.
Oh my God, you're right. Yes, I forgot about this. I was actually super excited about that, but I ended up getting diagnosed with vocal cord nodules.
That's right. So yeah, it was, I don't know, 2008, 2009, or somewhere in there. And we did a production of Candor and Ebbs, The World Goes Round in LA, and ABC Daytime collaborated on it. And it was, so it was me and Brandon Barash. And initially it was Chrishell, Natalie Hall, and then Bobby Eakes. And then when you left, they brought in Jamie Lunar.
Oh, interesting.
So,
cause she was on, All My Children, wasn't she? Or One Life. Yep.
Played not Colby. Yes, she was on the show.
She was on All My Children. Yeah.
So I'll get
I know.
But it was so weird to me because I was like, I remember doing that show, but I don't remember Chrishell being in it, but here's her email. And then I remembered I think you were supposed to be in it and then couldn't. So anyway, but that was a really just a lovely, you know, obviously you were new to All My Children. I was new to General Hospital, but it was a
special time, I feel you know, and there was a bond between like all the ABC daytime people. I love that time. Our casino nights, remember they would have
That was fun.
And the parties after the Emmys, like we would all just like be, there was just a real camaraderie that
for sure.
I hate that it's gone now, you know, it was special when we were in, I feel like in that time.
Yeah.
You sure. know, like I, you know, Steve went over to Y&R and I know you did a little spell on Y&R for like a summer or something,
like 10
maybe.
Episodes, I think.
Yeah. And so I've, you know, now that the ABC daytime family's gone, I've always been kind of a little jealous of the CBS family because maybe that they have a little bit of that, right? And they're in the same building, and it was just, it was fun to be on a team.
I know.
Well, now it's just me and you, Bradford.
Yeah, I know our team is very small, but I'm still very lucky to be a part of a team. So we can't feel the softball team.
We're still part of it. It's almost like college and you're like alumni. Like, I feel
totally.
Even if I don't know someone personally, like I haven't worked with you personally, Steve, but it's like, I do feel like it's like, you know, I've known you for years.
Yeah,
even though
absolutely.
I'm not knowing you, so.
Yeah, it's awesome. Definitely there is that feeling amongst daytime.
For sure.
Daytime people, for sure. Yeah.
So when the hammer came down on those two shows in New York, what did you immediately move back to LA, or what was the plan after that?
Well, All My Children first moved to LA.
To LA, that's right. Yeah, they tried to.
On the show till it ended. So I think it was in LA a little over a year once it moved. So interestingly enough, I had decided not to renew my contract. Now I was moving to LA to go pursue pilot season, and then I saw the line of girls that was auditioning for my part. It was so surreal to see that because you know, it was very obvious. And then the show came out saying it was moving. So it ended up being kind of cool that
you didn't leave, or you did. Did you leave on the same schedule, or you're like, oh, well, I guess I'll stay.
No joke. They moved over that Christmas break when I was going to be moving anyway. So it was bizarre timing.
So all those girls in line, you dashed their hopes.
I know. I'm sorry, girls.
No, don't be sorry.
It's
a real estate business. It's cutthroat. Don't be sorry.
So, but then you stayed until the second, until
the bitter end. I think it was 2010, I believe, the show got the final.
Wow. There was no,
I know One Life had, like maybe they tried to do a digital thing for One Life. Did they do a digital thing for AMC too?
They did in Connecticut, but I didn't do that online show.
Right.
They did one. I don't know how long it ran or anything, but they did.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so then you were back in LA, and how soon did Days come up after that?
I think I had a year in between there, in between All My Children and Days. Cause I did a couple other things in between there. I have a funny story of what I almost did right before Days of Our Lives came in the nick of time. Year is a time where it starts to mess with your head a little bit. I feel like that year mark as an actor.
Sure.
So I'd done small things, but I got an offer to do a show called Celebrity Splash. And it was basically high diving. I can't even get in the water without holding my nose. So it was a terrible idea.
Did you do it?
No. Okay. So here's what happened. I signed on and said yes. And again, you have to understand, I literally hold my nose to go underwater, and this is the high dive off of a thing.
That's amazing. Like doing the jackknife and then maybe like.
It's the same as Dancing with the Stars. If you say yes, even if you just say yes to one episode, you get a huge chunk of money.
Sure, and
I was like, I don't want to do this. I feel like it's hard to say no to that. So
of course,
anyway, long story short, Days of Our Lives literally saved me at the nick of time.
Come on, Chrishell. You know in Kentucky they do some good belly flops and cannonballs. You know you could have done that.
And that's exactly what it would have been. I had some idea that I was going to be bringing some element to the show, and in my head I was like, oh, it's not going to be.
Yeah, no.
At all.
That's amazing.
So did Days just call, or did you have to go through the whole process with them too?
So Days actually, they had two parts at the time that they asked if I'd be interested in screen testing for either part.
Cool.
So I read them, and one was more fun, but it was a little too similar to what I felt like I played on My Children, she came on as the bad girl, and she ended up being the lovable screw up. Mm-hmm. And then this character was a little, she was kind of like the party girl, like drug addict. There were a lot of parallels, and you're only one person and one actor, so it's not like I can play that completely differently, so... Creatively, I took a little more to this. She was a doctor undercover, and she didn't have like a lot of hair and makeup. My other character was like a glamazon. So,
what's an undercover doctor?
Oh, and a glamazon. That's a new one. I love that.
What's an undercover doctor?
Well, she was she was coming in as a physical therapist, but she was like hiding. So this was like her seventh different look that she was trying to blend in and go under the radar, as opposed to the other characters that were over the top. More fun to play at first, of course. But sure. I was hoping that this one, as the layers peeled away, would have its payoff as it went on. So I screen tested for that one. I take that back. Actually, I screen tested for the other one, but I told them I wanted that one. And so they gave me that.
Okay, perfect. Who'd you end up working with the most over there?
Galen Gehring.
We just had Galen on the podcast.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah, he was last came week's out today. Episode. So, yeah. But yeah, he's the last person we talked to. So this is amazing.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, he was my character. Like, I came in as a physical therapist to get him back on his feet. So,
sure you did.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure. Okay. Likely story. Okay.
Physical therapy.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, how it goes. It sounds dope.
So how was that? How did that experience compare to what you got used to on AMC?
Meaning how?
Well, and just in terms of like, because I've heard a lot. I've only worked on one soap, and I know Steve had when he went over to YNR. There was the way they approached rehearsals and everything was different, and so it gave it was just a different experience. And
Days was kind of. They started going pretty quick. Were they going pretty quick when you were there?
That was the number one thing I noticed with All My Children versus Days of Our Lives. Days of Our Lives was like being shot out of a cannon. And I mean, we were shooting what before I would have thought was impossible amounts. Impossible. Like I would have laughed at somebody like that's not even possible. So that was the number one thing is like, you have to come to set ready to tape it. Like if you need a rehearsal, you really need to do that some other time.
Yeah. There's no process. It's just get it up and going. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's really up to you. Like you're not going to get a lot of direction a lot of times. Like you have to figure this stuff out as you go. And so I have to say, having done it before, I was able to kick into a higher gear. I don't know how someone starting that job would do. because I don't know if that had been my first time, how I would have fared otherwise.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we see it a lot. I mean, we're going pretty quick now, and you gotta help the young people or they'll drown. You know, you just gotta actually, when they come in the door, go, hey, if you want to be here, this is what you're going to have to do. Say goodbye to your girlfriend or your boyfriend. No going out. Memorize your stuff. Know it. Don't mess up. And like, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough.
Well, and also when, you know, veterans of TV and film come in to play a judge for the day. And
oh my God.
there's only so much you can do for them. And otherwise you just kind of watch them sink or swim and you just feel, you feel compassion for them. You know, like,
like veteran people, but they end up having to have it like a judge end up having to have the script at the desk.
Of course.
Well, because judges always have huge monologues, just same thing as like officiants for weddings. Like you see someone guesting for a few days to officiate a wedding. Oh yeah. Or yeah. So it's,
I never want to officiate again.
There was a time, Chriselle, where like when I left the show, like they'd bring me back for weddings because my character like brought a little energy into it.
Of course, he did. So
I officiated a wedding between the Jason character when it wasn't Steve for a bit, and then they wanted me to officiate another wedding when Kirsten's character was marrying somebody else, Kirsten Storms' character Maxie. And I was like, the more I do this, the more they're going to have me do this.
That's going to be like, your only job now.
Right. But then I ended up booking another show and had to bail out at the last minute for my GH booking. So then they didn't call me for a couple of years anyway. But certainly not.
That's true. They didn't.
They didn't.
Oh no.
Yeah. But I didn't have to officiate any more weddings.
There you go. Yeah. It is hard.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Wow. So
these are the things we bond over.
I know, right? I know.
Totally. So now you're on Netflix, which is something like, I want to be on Netflix, but you,
like, I want to be a realtor. We could be a team, Bradford, me and you.
Well, but it's just amazing. Like, you know, everybody might be on demand or streaming anyway. And like, I don't know, but being on a soap, you feel like
you're on an island,
this corner, like what is being on Netflix mean?
Yeah. They're like, were there big Netflix parties and stuff?
So it's so different because all of a sudden at the drop of a hat, you're in 190 countries. And
Wow. That's awesome.
I feel like I never really ever have a understanding of where it's being played. All of a sudden I'll get a residual from, and I have no idea where we are, what their storyline is. And Netflix is just that all of a sudden at a certain mark, 190 countries. So it's a lot different in that sense. But
wow. That's
I feel
crazy.
Like it's also just as, I mean, the fans are just a million different languages. So I found that very interesting where it's just, I hadn't experienced that before. A little bit. You know, you'll have like, I feel like a couple countries, but this is a little crazy. But the parties, awesome. I feel like they do have parties, but now it's COVID. So now when we would have had a really splashy, fun party, we don't go on.
Sure.
Yeah, now you're on our podcast. Good job. It's all downhill from here, Chriselle. Sorry.
It's fine. I'm in so I'm used to it. So all the other cast members are flipping out and I'm like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, the timing of you guys getting it done before this whole thing happened is great. And now everybody's just at home watching TV. So I'm guessing your numbers will probably, I mean, be pretty good, right? One would hope, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were just trending last night, which is crazy. I went on to Netflix to find something to watch and I saw that we were on the trending thing, so that's cool. Yeah, so obviously
that's awesome.
And I've seen such an insurgence of people that have found season one right before season two, so I think people are like looking for content, and it has been, you know, as unfortunate as it is, there that's one of the pluses is that so many people have found the show now in this time, so that's good. Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I'm watching the first episode tonight.
Yay. Thank you, Steve. Okay. Don't hold it against us that there is some annoying, like girl drama stuff, but I personally really love the real estate the most.
Okay.
Has the
I'm watching though. So I want to see what's going on.
Has the attention you've got from it, how different does it feel different than just like fans of daytime? Like, how, does that do the attention feel any different? Does it feel? I mean, is there more of it? Like,
there's definitely more of it because I feel like, and also the demographic is so much different. Like,
is it okay?
I felt like I always was. Like now it's so much younger. Like these young girls keep coming up to me. I mean, between like 9 and 14, I can't believe it every time because I'm sitting there thinking like, I think I said the F word. Like, oh God.
Right. Cause Netflix, that's right. Netflix doesn't have to follow any guidelines there.
No. And so there's a few times where I'm like, when that happened in the beginning, I was like, oh my God, is our show okay for a 9-year-old?
Right. Well, we could have said that about our soaps too, I guess. Right. I mean, I know you watched when you were a kid, but you know.
So those are the major differences. I think the demographic is a lot younger, and I've definitely felt like it's just a lot more.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Like, that's, I mean, great. To have your brand, for a lack of a better word, grow in that direction. Because I mean, you know, you're a known commodity already, and now you're even more known.
So
funny. So many people are like, they have no clue I'm from a soap. Like, they only know me from selling something.
Right. Sure. Yeah. It's so funny because when I went to Y&R, people were like, who is this guy?
Really?
Like, nobody knew that I was on General Hospital for 20,000 years.
Oh, my God.
They're like, this guy's new. He's pretty good.
Where'd they find this young buck?
Yes. Well, that's not what they said at all.
Who is this old red man invading our soap?
Who's this guy? Can you put some freaking powder on? He's redder than a hot tamale. Chriselle, so you guys did season one and you finished season two?
We finished with season two, yeah.
Okay, so then is there a certain time you know if you're going to get picked up for season three or not?
So this is one of those weird in-between things where I'm not 100% sure what I'm supposed to say, but I'm just going
to say. Well, you don't have to say anything then.
But it's season, so we have season one was 8 episodes.
Yeah.
Season two, we have 16 in the can.
All
so
right,
whether
great.
They're so going to call that season two, part one, two, part two.
Awesome.
You know, great. So we have.
Cool. Right. Good for you. That's
so
awesome.
I just gave you guys the exclusive.
Oh.
Yay.
Yay. And for them, it doesn't make sense to hold on to content that they're not going to air. It doesn't cost them anything to air it.
Well, those will definitely air.
Yeah.
But after they drop the first 8, we'll then find out if we'll get picked up to then start shooting an official season 3. Yeah. They're just going to call that part 1 or 2 or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So there is no like, if the first 3 episodes or they probably get released all at the same time anyway, right? There's no like, they don't draw out.
The first 8 will get released next Friday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so. Awesome.
So it's not like they would say these 8 didn't do well. We're not going to put out these other 8.
Not with Netflix. They've already spent the money. They drop it's already produced and ready to go.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's good because usually when the series ends, you want to kill yourself and not wait for another year for Ozark to come out or whatever it is.
Right.
Now, at least of season 2, you get 8 episodes. You get 8 more soon, hopefully. So that's awesome.
Is there any cool, I'm not sure if this is an uncouth thing to ask, is there any cool endorsements that come from like doing reality shows? Like, I don't know, like, is like Bugatti going to give you a motorcycle or something?
Oh, well, I don't know.
Motorcycle.
I don't know. I was thinking of a cool car name and then I said Bugatti and I'm like, I think that's
and
a
you said a motor. No, that's a car, dude.
Yeah, it is? Don't I really look like the demo?
Yeah, no, I just mean like.
Yeah, give her a motorcycle.
No, but I mean like you're doing like an a Southern California show. So they want you to like drive Lamborghinis or something. Like, are you going to get a cool car? Like,
so
do you know what I mean?
I think if something like that happens, it'll be after these because our show is kind of the kind of show where it like built steam as it went.
Yeah.
And I think these next 2 drops will be really big for the show. And so if anything like that is going to happen, knock on wood, it would happen after these next drops.
Awesome.
Here is Chriselle for Fletcher Jones Motor Cars.
Sure is. It's worldwide. Well, Chriselle, thank you for your time today.
Great.
Congratulations on your success, too. It's so awesome.
That it becomes, everything becomes available is May what?
May 22nd.
May 22nd on Netflix, Selling Sunset.
Selling Sunset.
Awesome.
Watch it.
Thank you, guys.
Chriselle, thank you so much. We're so happy for you.
So much fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
Well, I know you're going to watch that show straight away, aren't you?
I'm watching Selling Sunset for sure, 100%.
Absolutely.
First of all, I love real estate shows, so I just have to watch for that. And Selling Sunset, I know that area because I grew up kind of in that area really well. I know the area really well, so it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It'd be cool. Yeah. I mean, it's so fun hearing, like, you know, getting her dream job on All My Children, then, you know, going to another show, getting let go of days. That was so interesting to me. It's like, you know, on All My Children, she had that run where she's like, oh, I could be here if I want to be here. Sure. And, you know, and then days all of a sudden, like, what, you're not, I can't just stay here now. Now, where's my life going to go? And like, just, we talk about this all the time. Reinventing yourself as an artist, reinventing yourself as in your career.
Yeah. And well, what it continues to teach us, I think, Brad, just like this quarantine did, is you have to adapt, right? Doors close on your face in your life a lot. Yeah. And it's what you do next determines your success.
Absolutely. Right?
So there's always going to be another door that opens, but you never know how long that's going to be, or you're going to have to wait, or you're going to have to keep grinding until you get that opportunity. And she just never gave up and she didn't quit. And that's what's awesome. You know, and you got to give her a little credit, because for someone who's worked so long as an actor or an actress and then go, hey, you know what? It's kind of, I'm not working right now. I'm going to go be a realtor, right? I'm going to go do something that's not necessarily what I want to do. Want to make a living at, but I do love real estate. So I'm going to go dabble over here. And guess what? The two worlds collided for her. And
I know.
And I know that's what's amazing. That's why you never know.
Exactly right.
Right? So you just never know. You never know. Yeah. And that's awesome. Good for her.
So yeah, it was so great to catch up with her. We got a lot of stuff going on, friends. We are now starting to do, as some of you may know, the Emmy nominations came out last week. Obviously our own Steve Burton was nominated, which is very exciting.
Whose own? Me and you?
Stone Cold and Jackal's own, Steve Burton.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. You know what's funny, man? I was driving yesterday and I go, and my father-in-law didn't know I was nominated. And then today I'm like, oh man, lead actor, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like because you brought it up in one of the things we were talking about. You're like, now your lead, now you got to wait till the end of the show. I'm like, oh, crap. I like getting it over first, supporting. That's the first one up, and I'm done. Right. You know, now the lead, you got to just sit there and go, oh, man. But it's kind of cool, man. It's sure fun. Is. I'm enjoying it. So,
another cool thing is that we're having chats with all the Emmy nominees.
Yes.
And we're putting them up on our YouTube page. So if you want to go to our YouTube page and see our chats with Caitlin McMullen, we have a lot of other people going up.
We got Michael Knight coming up. We got Eden McCoy. We got James Patrick Stewart. We got Kathleen Gotti. We got so many people coming up.
Yeah, people coming up. Yeah. That's one reason to go to our YouTube page. Another reason to go is we have a show called Bad Jokes, where we make each other laugh till we cry, telling each other terrible jokes.
Dude, listen, I'm going to say this. My son watched the second episode, and he was laughing, dude.
That's amazing.
Like, he was laughing.
My kids don't find me funny. So the fact that we could.
Dude, it was so. The first one was funny. The second one is funnier.
Yes. Well, the second one, you know, we were in person when we taped it.
Yeah.
And we're sitting on a couple lazy boys.
Yeah.
And we're telling each other jokes.
The best.
And so it's a pretty unique watch. So
it was pretty. It was a good highlight of my life, a good 10 minutes of my life.
Absolutely. I will always remember that 10 minutes fondly. And then, of course, we have our seven question show, which we consistently have new guests. So go over to our YouTube page. There's some good entertainment.
We got some good stuff going on over there.
We are in the process of rescheduling some of our live shows. So another reminder to go to stonecoldandthejackal.com. Get on our email list. Because when we make announcements about that stuff, you surely want to be updated about that.
But as of now, October shows are going. So don't be afraid to buy a ticket, because they're going to go.
Yes.
And we're going. Yeah. And we're going, buddy.
And we're going.
And it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. So thank you guys. Thanks so much for listening. And we hope everyone's staying happy and safe. And we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Appreciate you guys. Bow, 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 bow.
You know what? I'm not a high school girl, so shut up.
Run for the Hills.
Who says going out partying in a club you can't find love?
It's the Spidey Podcast with Spencer and Heidi Pratt.
Hello. I'm not dead.
If you want your husband going out every night, good for freaking you.
Hey, that was a joke if you're an idiot. Spencer, you spoiled brat. Your life is amazing.
Get new episodes every Monday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Don't worry, Mom. I got you.